Ring ring, ring ring, ring ring.
Hey buddy, how's it going?
I'm good, Hawes. It's I'm ready for this finale reaction.
Yeah, we spent the first part of the series in the past, and now we're in the past again, right? Because we couldn't release the first couple of episodes we did until the strike was over, and then we waited a couple of months to do the last one.
We're very busy people.
We are. Lot going on. Lot going on,
You're
buddy.
moving houses. I'm
Yep.
moving about countries.
Yep.
It's out of control. But I do feel like I'm far calmer, but I do feel that same reaction electricity because I just like literally, as you rang the closing music was on the
Nice.
so
That's good timing.
I've rewatched. I tried to time it quite. I worked backwards from so I could go straight into it. But what was I going to say just then? I can't really remember. Like I remember bits of my commentary
Right.
because it was so long ago, and there's like I have no interest in re-listening. Because I did it. But I don't know, Robbo was sending me all these like when they got released, Robbo's like, I can't believe that's how you feel. And I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about even. Like and I feel like I'm far more positive during the season because I'm like, well, let's see where it goes. So what's going on with this, you know? And lately that hasn't been working out for me because I thought the Book of Boba Fett like finale just like I was just like wait what huh
Hey man, we can't get started on that steal.
and then the and then similarly I'm gonna keep moving oh hey when I was in New York I did find the retro Mandalorian Boba Fett with the little, so I picked that and it was like $9.
Nice.
Yeah, so a little hit. I've got to go through and
Figure out which ones you have and don't.
oh
Yeah.
yes. Oh my, I have no idea because a lot of them are quite like very similar.
Right.
Like I don't know, is there two different Ahsokas? They're all vintagey.
I think there might be at this point two different ones. You know, I went out and ran some errands today and I was at Target and I mean, I wasn't there for toys, but you know I'm gonna go to the toy aisle and I
Oh, dude, can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
And let's just put it out there to everyone. You can't go into Target without going past the toy section, yeah?
Oh, you have to. It's a must, right? And going down the toy aisle, fully expecting not to be coming home with anything out of that aisle. And sitting here on my desk is a Sabine Black series from Ahsoka. I was like, well, that fits the theme of my collection. Gotta take this one home.
You take a helmet off?
You can.
Oh, good. There's no excuse for stuck on helmets these days.
Yeah, not anymore. No.
That is that would be my one criticism of the retros because
Well, yeah,
that
especially when you consider towards the end of the vintage, the actual vintage line, they had removable helmets with like Lando and Stormtrooper Luke.
yeah, I know, and even that vintage Endor Leia.
Trooper.
No,
Oh,
the
yeah.
like she had removable like all sorts of goods. She had a belt and a helmet. She was very losable items. And yeah, I always thought it was kind of trashy that like some of the rebels you could take the like Leia you could take a helmet off, but then on the Endor trooper you couldn't. It was just like, come on, let's just knock all their heads off.
You know what I'm surprised in this whole movement of Hasbro actually doing those retro inspired figures, how have they not done a Stormtrooper Han Solo to complete the set?
Well, Don't get me started, Horns. This is my Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
They finally did my after 10 years of giving them the idea of doing prequels, Episode One series of retro figures. They announced them recently.
I saw that. And then
I have to talk about this for my own sanity. And then I'm listening to this Sith List podcast, right?
Uh-oh.
And Struthers is just bagging it out. Just like, how useless is Hasbro? And I'm just like, this is the most exciting thing they've released for me.
Right.
But anyway, that
was me listening to podcast after the episode where Boba Fett came back and got his armor back on the Mandalorian. I said, man, maybe I need to take a break for a second.
So anyway, that whole retro, we have to get back now off figures. Where were we? Talking about the end.
Yeah. But if you wanted to just keep talking about toys, we could do that. There's
no, it's too ironic. all right. So I just watched it, right?
Right.
And, because we were talking about how the finales, that's where we were. How, like, the finale of the Book of Boba Fett, just like, I sort of was just holding out, like, oh, this will all pay off. And, and then in the Mando 3, I thought, yeah, it was just like, come on, where you at? So, similarly, I, from memory, had a pretty great time watching a couple of these episodes. I think I enjoyed most of them, but, you know, there's just ebbs and flows. But then there was a few, like you know, quite rippers. But it's the finale where, you know, the character progression and all the payoffs are, do you know what I mean? You can't judge the setup to a joke.
Right.
By the setup. Like, I want to hear the end of the bit. Just quick little analogy there. So, anyway, I've got some notes. This Thrawn, right?
Uh-huh.
Is he a master strategist or just a decent manager of people with skills?
You know, a little bit of both, I guess, but he's certainly a master shit talker. You got to give him that, buddy.
I do like his little... There's something about it, even in the cartoon. But, just these, like... Just, he really enjoys the sound of his own voice.
Yeah.
I would have liked a bit more of him doing something a bit more proactive. He seems very like, let's see where the pieces fall. And we'll like, I don't know. I just like I do respect him because he does seem like a great, manager of people. I feel like he could run one of our, great media corporations, quite easily.
But the output of that media corporation will be wild.
It'd be very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, but, I'm digging him, but I would have liked, I don't know, is the whole, like, so he gets there because the whales take him to that planet, and that's why the witches are there, because the whales took them there?
No, I don't think the witches and the whales are associated with one another. I think it's just that the witches were originally on that planet, and maybe they used the whales to leave that galaxy.
But it's the whale graveyard.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then the witches, we're not sure how they got there.
Well, it seems like maybe that's where they were from originally.
Wouldn't they be from Dathomir?
No, no. So they kind of, it seems like they establish in this show that the Night Sisters originally came from this other galaxy, potentially even Perdia or whatever that planet is called.
So how does Dathomir fit in then?
I think that's where they settled once they got into the regular Star Wars galaxy, however long ago that was.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
This is very interesting. You know a lot about this stuff, Wars. Is it Madam? Is she a Madam?
Morgan? Yes. Morgan Elsbeth?
Did she have a designation?
Remember. That's a good question.
When she was on that planet, like in Mando,
Oh, yes, she was an Imperial Magistrate on that
planet. The Magistrate, yeah. Right on. I knew she used to have a job before she lost herself. So when she says for Dathomir, right, uh-huh. like sort of like corrects Thrawn on her... loyalty,
right,
I guess.
Right.
Is that how you'd read that?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's sort of doing it for Dathomir. Who are the witches doing it for?
You mean the witches on Perdia or Night Sisters that were on Dathomir at one point?
No, the three that are on the Star Destroyer.
To me, it seems like they are just doing it for the love of the game of the dark side.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's really confusing.
Yeah. Because it doesn't necessarily seem like they have any Imperial association, right? But Thrawn showed up and woke them up, right? They mentioned that he showed up and he woke up the witches. So maybe... that they owe some sort of allegiance to him for waking them up. And then maybe he's made some sort of promises to them about their station in this supposed new empire he's going to try to build.
But the weird thing about it to me is when she says for Dathomir, doesn't that sort of introduce a whole new plot?
Well, it...
But, and then the plot sort of gets killed with... Like, it's done, like it's sort of like... Like, she shows who she... I don't know. It just seems sort of like you're dropping this hint, but it's actually... I can't see how it can progress.
Yeah, so if you want my read of it, and this could be very wrong, I kind of read that as... you know, something happens on Dathomir sort of in between the Clone Wars and the original trilogy, right?
I bet.
Like when we see Dathomir post Clone Wars, like in that area between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, like pretty much everybody is dead. Like, there's not much going on there.
When did we see that?
That was in the video game Jedi Fallen Order, the first one of those.
Oh, God. All right. Jeez.
Okay. The witches also had posed a threat to Sidious's planned galactic empire, and thus were a target he wanted to destroy. Grievous then destroyed their fortress and killed off the majority of the Night Sisters during the battle, marking the end of the Night Sisters as a civilization. The few survivors include Ventress, Mother Talzin, Marin, who is from the video game, and then I don't know these other people, and Morgan Elsbeth.
So these other survivors, do they hate the Empire?
It kind of seems like they should, right? Considering what happened, but then why are they buddying up with Thrawn, who's trying to bring the Empire back?
Well, are those Night Sisters sort of like, or the witches, the three ladies with the uh-huh. green, are they sort of a higher, like sort of hey, we're old school. You went and did your little daffy thing.
That could be.
But we're like 10,000 years deep in this.
Yeah, I think there's something going on with them deeper than just like, oh, we're bad guys for bad guys' sake or whatever. Because of that one line about Thrawn showed up and woke them up. They were in some kind of magical dark side sleep or something.
So, all right, I'm stuck on this. This Morgan Elsbeth, right? If she's doing it for Dathomir, why is she helping the Empire? Like
that. Now, I'll be 100% honest with you, buddy. That doesn't make much sense to me, right? I even kind of mentioned it. Why would she be buddying up with Thrawn when it's the Empire?
Like,
well, okay,
like,
hold on.
But even like, what possibly could be her plan? Like, I don't know.
Well,
like,
so we know.
Oh no! But she got the witches, the spirit dreams, or something. So there's something.
Yeah, they were communicating with her across galaxies. Remember, they talk about how they started with, like, you heard the whispers or whatever, you know.
So those witches have to be in on it then. They have to be like.
Yeah, so I certainly think there is something.
The witches have to have their own mission.
They've got their own plan or motivations behind this. Absolutely. I think so.
I forgot about the dreams. All right, well, that's interesting. All right, we'll follow up with that in a bit. Wait there. We went back to the turtle people, and I've got to say, big thumbs up for all things turtle people.
Turtle people, great. The Na'ti or whatever they're called, love those guys.
Just sweet. Never imagined that. And now they're on my screen. That's what I call entertainment.
Yeah, and I liked the stuff with Ezra and them in the finale as well. I thought that was pretty good.
What sort of stuff?
Like, just so, wait, hold up. Now, I didn't have a chance. I rewatched this episode like 2 weeks ago when we were first going to try and get together to do this.
How dare you?
And, well, it was my fault we couldn't.
Sweet.
So that wasn't a casting of shade at you at all. Is this
I was saying how dare you for not doing the podcast.
Oh, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure I'm taking the heat.
That's some revisionist history.
yep. You might as well call us Dave Filoni. Anyways,
please don't.
I'd rather you didn't. So isn't this episode where they get in sort of the chase sequence where they're moving and they're running from the Raiders?
Yeah. I just wasn't sure like what you referred to.
Yeah. But, I liked all that stuff. The banter during those chase sequences and all that I thought was solid.
Don't jump too far ahead. Don't jump too far ahead.
Because
my notes here are very, defined. A big pro, I thought. I like the Ezra droid Kanan chat. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did too. And I liked seeing Ezra with the lightsaber, right? Because that was kind of, I remember you and I talking about, well, now that he and Sabine are back together, is she going to give him the lightsaber back? Is he going to use a lightsaber? So I did like that scene between Hu Yang and Ezra when he was
Hu Yang,
jeez. Great character.
I've forgotten all the names. I don't know if I ever had Hu Yang though.
Yeah,
Hu Yang. Sorry, making a coffee. Let's talk Sabine, right?
Okay.
Big fan. Big fan of the actress. Big fan of the character. Like the betrayal, but she just seems, some of her decision making just seems unrealistic. Like her interactions with some people just seem like she's a 12-year-old or something.
Right.
Like the whole thing with Ezra and her, and she gets there, and then they're just not talking about anything that's happening. Like you know, when they're like on that, like she's like, oh, what, you know, is Ahsoka coming? No, no, yeah, isn't time of the essence?
Yes. Now, the writing with Sabine in the last couple of episodes where she was essentially refusing to talk to him about Ahsoka was awkward. And I don't know why they went back to that more than once. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, why are you chilling? Like, do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like the ship's going to, like, isn't it like the hyperspace ring's just gotten there and
they got to load that bad boy up and take off?
Yeah, like it's pretty established to everyone involved that the clock is ticking, right? And if you miss the clock, you're in the wrong galaxy. Like you're in the wrong galaxy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, how is either of them, like, how is one of them doing that and how's the other one accepting it? Like it's baffling.
Yeah, that whole,
you know who we need? You know who we need in this show?
Huh? Boba Fett.
Jack Bauer.
Oh yeah, man, he's on the clock.
Buddy, there's a man that knew how to fit some stuff in.
Yeah, man, the whole day he got up to some shenanigans in one 24-hour period.
No pooping.
Not one. I don't remember a single episode of 24 where he was like, hold up, can you tell the terrorists to wait for a second? I got to go take a poo-poo. Never, man.
So, like playing the devil's advocate,
uh-huh.
I did sort of think, is Ezra just chill because he's now just, like, he's just taken on a Kenobi-like, just mellow vibe?
Right. And it does seem like they're doing a bit of that with him, right? Where he's just like, hey, man, listen, I've been stuck on this planet. Some weird shit's been going on. I'm just see what happens. I'm just going with it.
But that inherently seems like he hasn't become wizened. He's just dumb. Like, it's sort of, this is not the right thing. Do you know why it's not the right thing? Because half the people didn't make it back. Like, do you know what I mean? So yeah. It's like your decisions were not like the whole playing it out. And the Ahsoka has some pretty good quotes later on about just not vibe checking. So that's why I sort of rule out Ezra from having a similar.
Right.
But you can't have multiple Jedis just going around going, oh, that's, yeah, man, all good. Let's just see how it plays out, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I just found that. And even, like Sabine and Ahsoka, I think I was talking about it with Corey, or maybe it was you on this podcast, but like maybe both. But like they had no real interaction in the cartoon hardly at all. I thought I'd just like, I'm not paying enough attention because I was sort of like, I don't remember any of this training stuff or like with her. I remember Ezra doing a little bit, but
yeah. Well, you know, are you talking about Sabine and Ahsoka's relationship in Rebels, or are you talking about Ezra and Ahsoka in Rebels?
No, Sabine and Ahsoka.
Yeah,
like it's sort of like they had this big relationship and then falling out, and it's all in the ether.
Well, yeah, that big relationship and their falling out all happens off screen post Rebels, right?
Yeah, which is so odd because it's like you're now leaving stuff out for the people that watched everything. Like you know about what Dathomir looks like because of some bloody video game.
Right.
And then they're just airballing this whole, and that's why it sort of doesn't, I feel like that's why it doesn't work. Like very consistently. Because it's all built on nothing sort of thing. Like it's not, it's, I don't know. It's just referencing something that's not there. But yeah, I just found all that sort of, I don't know. And then, like just like the jilted, like it's sort of like we didn't even see it, but we've sort of got another jilted Padawan, you know, oh, they didn't want to teach anymore. And it's like, do you know what I mean? It's, it's like even the backstory that we didn't see, it's not even original. It just seems like a reheating of like Luke and Rey or something. Oh.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, we get a little bit of detail about it in this last episode, right? Isn't it Hu Yang that tells Ezra like, hey, after you left, shit went really bad on Mandalore. Like it went really, and like Sabine's whole family was destroyed. Right. Which is interesting because that's yet another, like in that last season.
Hey, can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
So Sabine, her whole family got, but like, didn't she develop some weapon that wiped out everyone?
It didn't wipe out every, well, so in Rebels, like, you know, they sort of.
Is that what Hu Yang's talking about?
Or no,
my stuff.
So you know what he's talking about? You know, the flashbacks we see in Mando where the Empire and the K2 droids are destroying Mandalore. That's what Hu Yang is talking about.
The Night of the Thousand Tears.
Yeah, because Ezra is present when all this stuff happens with Sabine and her family. And when the Empire uses that weapon that Sabine helped develop.
Whoa. When's that?
That is in, I want to say that's season 4 of Rebels. It's either season 3 or 4. It was the only reason I even have any reference for it is because I rewatched Rebels before Ahsoka came out.
Oh man, I feel like I'm drowning here. yeah. So, like, yeah, I just sort of thought that Sabine Ahsoka, like, backstory that we heard, it was just a bit too reimagined or something, and that it's sort of I put that in the same category as when Sabine got sabered in an episode, and it's sort of like, you know, like a pretty similar thing happened in Kenobi.
Right.
And it's sort of just like, you guys, you read all the scripts, yeah? Like maybe not have that plot point.
Repeat itself, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, it's like poetry, it rhymes. But is it poetry?
To me, that is not sort of the George Lucas execution of its poetry at rhymes, right? To me, that doesn't really line up with his idea of that.
It's having an asteroid chase every movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just some of the plot points like that is sort of like, and the fact that it's sort of standing on something, like it's building off something, so much of it doesn't exist.
Right.
Like in a like pre-established form. So they're sort of, I don't know, like they're like the, because the backstory hasn't sort of been really fleshed out.
No. Yeah. Like, we just get like, little references and lines to it.
Yeah. Sort of like reflecting off that backstory. It's sort of like, oh, this doesn't make sense because it's not built off previous stuff. Am I making sense?
No, I totally know what you mean. And, you know, it's not something that Star Wars is unknown to do. To me, the Ahsoka and Sabine backstory stuff seems like that's going to be in a book or something a couple of years from now.
Oh, who cares? Okay, the stuff now that fills it in later on, it's just, I'm just, I don't know. It's just like reading a story someone wrote on the internet to me. But that's just where I am with the once they started like contradicting stuff in the books, I was sort of like, What's the point of this?
Yeah, and that part is fascinating, right? That it kind of seems like it's basically exactly where it was before, where you guys can do stuff in books, but if we decide we want to do something in a movie or a TV show that contradicts it, we're going to do that.
Yeah, and because of my light OCD nature, it's sort of like, oh, once you pop the bubble, I'm sort of just like, nah, I can't believe in it anymore.
Right.
In your Star Wars belief system. Now, on a lighter note, when Ezra pops up on that starfighter holding up his saber, and he's like, I'm finished and happy. It just looked like a blast bolt was gonna just like go
Oh
through
my
his
goodness.
back or something.
That'd be
John,
funny.
like it's I don't know. I can't think of any films. Like I can't think of the definition of what it is, but you know when you've just seen it in so many films where it's sort of almost like a slow motion of like, hey, like I've got this
No.
thing, and
Yeah.
then it's just like a spear just goes through their chest and things go into slow-mo. But that didn't happen. But this TIE fighter scene, I thought that was pretty sick.
Oh yeah, I like the TIE fighter stuff. I thought the TIE fighter stuff was pretty sick.
Yeah, I like the TIE fighter pilot flinching. I thought that was I could really relate.
You know,
I was like, oh, TIE fighter pilots, they're just like us, or me.
the finale for me, I liked. I didn't love it. I thought episodes before it were way better. And things that stuck out to me the most were just weird editing choices, right? There is one that is so jarring, and I thought, okay, well, maybe after I've watched it and then given it some time and go back it and watch it again, where you're not in like that mindset of, oh crap, this is the first time I'm watching something new Star Wars, that I feel differently about it. But the scene where they're racing to get into the temple or whatever, right? And they just barely get through the doors. And then it cuts away to Thrawn, and when it cuts back to them, they're in the middle of fighting troopers. Like it's such a weird edit in the way it was executed. It like really fucks with the momentum of the finale, some of those weird editing choices. And that's just one of them that comes to mind that was
But
weird.
that's also where you're like, for me, I'm like, have I not been paying attention?
Yeah, exactly. Like, did I miss a whole scene where they got confronted by the troops and then the fight starts? Like, just to jump in and everybody's deflecting lightsaber bolts with, or blaster bolts with lightsabers and stuff.
It's sort of just, it's like that bit was kind of like you're playing a video game and you skipped the cutscene that set up why they were surrounded by stormtroopers.
Exactly.
And because the like that scene is so video gamey that yeah, it really, yeah. This is like, where was it where I okay, so you've jumped forward a little bit from where I am because this. Yeah, I'll once we catch up to that bit, I will it's very it's really funny that you bring it up. Or it's funny that it makes me feel yeah, maybe I'm not crazy. You know, Paul's noticed something weird as well. They kind what's his name? 2B or whatever his name is, Humvee?
Who Yang?
Hu Yang. For how valuable, like realistically, he would be, they kind of don't give a crap about him.
Right. And
Like
that dude is a wealth of knowledge.
the starfighter crashes and Sabine just gets out and walks off, like 100 meters away, and no one even are they just like, oh, of course, Hu Yang's okay. Like, And that's the sort of thing with Sabine. Like, it's sort of just like, it just paints her as like, you're just a constant, like, just a little baby sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a bit of a vibe of like episode two Anakin about her in this show, in a way, right? Where it's like,
it's just turned up a bit high.
Yeah, yeah,
where it's,
slightly.
Where it's just sort of like, hey, this isn't, like, someone needs to sit her down and go, you're taking this a bit far.
Hey, listen, we all want to find Ezra. Let's think about this logically for a second, okay? You're awesome.
Or someone needs to sit Filoni down and say the same thing.
Right.
But, yeah, I just, like, wouldn't he be very valuable in the continued, like,
the rebuilding of the Jedi?
Like, for 10,000 years? Yeah. Like, it's... But anyway, I wrote down, there was a few Ahsoka quotes along the way that I liked. I like this one where Ezra, classic Ezra, says, "Oh, I guess I shouldn't mention this might slow us down." And then she goes, "Only if we let it."
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, I like Ahsoka's characterization in the second half of the season a bit more than I do in the beginning. I thought they did a good job with that. And her, like, you know, when Sabine, I imagine it's right around this same part where her and Sabine have their moment where they see each other again for the first time since, you know, being in this new galaxy. I thought her dialogue with Sabine in that moment was really good too.
Yeah, I just thought it was sort of up and down. Like, she'd sort of progress, and then the next episode they'd sort of forgot about it. Like,
right.
when she had that big Anakin episode, and at the end she seemed like relieved. Like it seemed like a burden off her shoulders, and she seemed a bit more upbeat. And then it was sort of just like, yeah, I sort of thought the end of that episode was sort of like, oh, you know, she's really got her Ahsoka back now.
Uh-huh.
Like, and then that seemed to just regress again. And then at the end of the whole episode, which we'll just save for the end, but I sort of don't get why Anakin was there in, like, why is it meaningful? But we'll save that for the end, right?
Right.
Oh, actually, what's his name? Humvee. He does say, "May the Force be with you," when they ride off. So that's acknowledgement that he's alive,
right,
after the crash. What did you think in the end of Goldhead?
I thought it was okay. You know, I saw a lot of people that were really stoked on his design, and I thought the other troopers that had like the red and stuff, like the red markings on their armor, were a little cooler than him.
The ones with like the bandages around them.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I don't know why Enoch's design didn't hit for me like it seemed to hit for other people. Something about it just didn't. I think it was because when you take the stormtrooper faceplate off and you replace it with like a human face, even though it's gold, it looks like they're just wearing a big Spaceballs helmet on their head. You know what I mean? Something about the silhouette of the head covering part of the stormtrooper helmet with the face mask part off just looked weird to me.
Yeah, there is a bit of Spaceballs about him. But yeah, I was sort of just like, no, yeah, it's like, it's not great and it's not terrible.
Yeah,
it's Goldhead.
Now, I did like the Night Sister magic stuff, bringing the troopers back and stuff. I thought that was neat.
What do you mean? When they stood back up again?
Yeah, like when we actually
let's hold up for that.
Hold up. Okay.
You are opening a can of worms with that one. Speaking of gold, actually, segue, that's boo-worthy. the visual of that Star Destroyer in the ring.
Oh.
In the atmosphere.
Great.
And with the gold trim. And I didn't notice till today, the Star Destroyer's got gold trim as well.
So yeah. Yeah.
So they've like they have a design meeting on that?
I guess.
Like over...
Over the, like, Galactic how, Skype.
How did they both end up gold? Okay. Like, were they... Like, how do you backdate that one?
Maybe she was... maybe Morgan was emailing the Night Sisters pictures and being like, guys, I promise we're going to make it there. We're building a giant space ring, and here's some mock-ups. And they're like, hey, can you maybe... Because we repaired Thrawn's Star Destroyer. Could you maybe throw some gold in there so it's nice and matchy-matchy?
Do they... No, that doesn't make... Oh, maybe it makes sense. Would they maybe need the gold to go through the super mega hyperspace?
Maybe. It could be.
Because did any other ship... Because Ahsoka got there in a mouth.
Uh-huh.
No one else has flown there.
Uh-uh. Well... I mean, the Thrawn's Star Destroyer, quote unquote, flies there, but it gets grabbed by the Purgles and taken to Perdia, right?
Got you. All right. Maybe the gold is just part of the, like when you see a space shuttle and you know how they got like
ceramic tiles and stuff.
Yeah. Ever seen a space shuttle horse?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Buddy, great.
I live about an hour and a half from the Huntsville Space Center here in Alabama. It rules.
Really?
Yeah.
They ever launch anything from there?
No, they don't launch things from there. They do research and development stuff there, I believe. It's also where Space Camp is, if you're familiar with Space Camp.
Sounds like some probing going on down there.
They have shuttles on display, and they have some space monkeys there.
What?
Space monkeys. Monkeys that were sent into space.
What are they doing there?
They're just hanging out in their little enclosure.
No way.
Yeah. At least they were there when I was a kid. I hope the space monkeys are still kicking around.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sounded so hopeful saying that, and then I'm like, when you're a kid? Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be close to 30 years ago at this point. So, you know, I don't know what the average life of a monkey is, much less one that's been to space.
R.I.P. Space Coco.
Yeah.
Another good Ahsoka quote, which is just like a good character trait establishing. Let's try the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Now, so this is when they're about to go in.
Yeah.
The episode completely falls apart in this moment. First of all, the scene starts with some, just like some establishing shots of them on the walls.
Uh-huh.
That just looks like Elvis surfing.
I will be honest with you, buddy. Another thing about the finale that affected my overall enjoyment is... I don't know why, but something about this finale seemed less visually impressive than other Star Wars TV stuff. There were some bad, what I would consider be bad shots and bad effects in this episode.
But the different departments, like the space shots looked sick.
Right.
But then the like live action, like, you know, with incorporating actors like on the ground. Like, yeah, they just had a couple like, and then later on when they're getting all the blasts at them, they have a similar shot. But because there's explosions in the foreground and the background, it's sort of covered up. And they're going from side to side. And this isn't the forward shot, but it's sort of like a sideways, like, I don't know, 45 degree angle of them riding. And it just looked like. It's just his head in front of a screen.
Right. Yeah. There were some weird effects in this finale. I was going to say, and that's, in my opinion, I feel like the Star Wars TV stuff has been fairly solid with effects. There's been little things here and there, but to me, this is probably the best example of Star Wars Disney Plus shows having not great effects shots.
So the door's about to close. They're riding the wolves. The blasts are coming down. And then Ahsoka says, oh, and they're trying to use the Force. And this is just where it drops off. Because Ahsoka says, Sabine, help out. And then you've got this shot of like a Sabine's on the wolf, steering the wolf with Ezra behind it, and Ezra's using the Force, and then she's riding with one hand while using the Force. That sort of makes it look like she's trying to slow, like, because she's trying to slow something down, but you're meant to be riding the wolf fast.
Right.
It's just like, and it doesn't even make sense, or especially in the plot development, because she hasn't yet used the Force.
Right, she hasn't successfully.
So why are you diverting your energy?
You should be booking it on that dog, man.
And yeah, it was just like...
Can I ask another quick question, just a side question?
You may.
What the heck happened to Sabine's dog buddy?
What the dog doing?
Oh, DMX.
I just wanted to do that real quick because you mentioned you found that DMX sound effect.
Oh, love it. I love the DMX bark. Oh, my stars.
That wasn't a real question. I was sitting here waiting for the dogs to come up so I could do that.
I now got that song in my head. All right, so then they're in the Stormtrooper level of the video game of Ahsoka Survivor or something. The saber movements when they're fighting the Stormtroopers, it's like they're doing aerobics, like, and they're repeating moves.
It seems weirdly choreographed and stilted in some scenes, for sure.
But it just feels like they go back to like step one. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Particularly Ahsoka with the two lightsabers. Like it's, I don't know. It's just a little, it just feels like you're watching a video game.
Right.
Now, pause. This is where we're going to get, this is going to be less fun. You liked the way the Stormtroopers got back up as zombies.
Yeah, I like the zombie trooper stuff.
I cannot stand them.
Okay. Well, buddy, I think you might want to strap in because I think that's going to be a reoccurring theme in these shows for a little
bit. Yeah, that's not an excuse to start liking it.
No, I'm just saying, I wasn't saying you should like it because of that. I'm saying strap in and prepare yourself.
Dude,
I think that's
I'm scrolling
happen.
Down here. Where is it? I've got, there's one note here where it's, I am worried. And it's because of that.
I gotcha.
So when they just chop them down and they just hop back up again, you like that?
Yeah.
You got to spend less time on Twitch, bro.
Yeah, it's possible. Could be.
It doesn't necessarily prove my point, but I'm right either way. Yeah, couldn't stand it. Didn't like it. I just thought it was so good. Chop them in half.
Yeah.
Chop them in half.
Now, listen, that is a common complaint anytime you're watching or reading or interacting with something that has like a, what you would consider an undead enemy, is like, come on, guys. There's an easy solution to this. Right?
No, and I know maybe over time it's a trope or something. Oh, you just don't do it. But like, these people do have the most famous cutting devices in the history of, of the galaxy in cinema, real world, fake world, confused world. So it's just like, and then in the end, like, one of the finale things is a head gets chopped off. Like, if that's like at the end of the battle, you go, Sabine, you've got to cut them in half. It's like, bro, how did you not know that from the start?
I mean, you're not wrong. You're 100%
like,
not wrong.
From the moment they reanimate, your goal is to chop pieces off them. Like, how else? Like, come on. Like, anything else is you're dumb. Pause. Are you still there? Yeah. If I'm doing this rant and it's not being recorded.
No, it's recording. I'm just sitting here respectfully listening to your rant.
Well, I would like to say something now.
I mean, listen, I agree, right? I'm not saying I liked the fight scene with the dead troopers, but I liked the execution of them using the Night Sister magic, bringing them back. I'll say the one thing I think they could have done a little less of was like the zombie noises when they came back. I don't know that I need these dudes like moaning and groaning the whole time.
I'd be more with it if it like, once they got away, the witches stopped concentrating and they just dropped on the ground.
Right, right.
But it seems like now they're just like infected forever, which has me deeply concerned.
Yeah, I mean, listen, buddy, they loaded up a ton of coffins or whatever those were on those Star Destroyers. I have a feeling there's some dead folks in there that they're about to be trying to bring back.
Now, I thought the Ahsoka sword fight one-on-one was that seemed way better.
It was. That one was well choreographed, and the lady that plays Morgan Elsbeth is like, you know, that's her second sort of hand-to-hand fight in Star Wars, and both of them have been solid.
Now, again, just on logic, and you got to get, like, it's always bugged me about the cartoons,
uh-huh,
and now they're doing it in live action. Why is Ezra trying to punch the zombie stormtrooper in the face?
I don't know, man. That is a good question.
Like, the stormtrooper grabs his hand, so it's just like it doesn't happen. But, like, what possibly could you hope to achieve? Also considering you do have the use of the Force in the same hand.
Right.
It's just, like, you don't notice it, but then once you notice it, it's like, well, that's just, do you know what I mean? I'm not getting in like a stuntman to tell me how the sword play isn't right.
Right, exactly. I'm not looking for that.
Why would this smart, wise person, with the use of the Force, clench their fist to punch an already established rock-hard zombie trooper in the zombie trooper mask face?
Right.
It's just low IQ. All right. Oh, so same scene. Sabine, very poorly edited, uses the Force for the first time, to our knowledge.
That's the other one, the big one that stood out to me of not being edited very well, was that scene.
Oh, my stars. It was like the Family Guy edit of the start of the Pit of Carcoon.
Uh-huh.
Quite a typing clause.
Sorry.
That's okay. It was just like this moment that, you know, you knew was coming the entire season. Like, you're going to get that Luke Wampa Cave moment where you know, when she needs it, she's going to do it.
Right.
And it, yeah, it just amounted to nothing, like emotionally, really. It was sort of just like, yeah, well, yes, just make the real obvious thing happen. If you're not going to make it like the fact it was to save herself, I think deflates it. I think if you, one thing I would have said in one of the other shows, it should be, she does it to save Ezra.
Right.
But she does it to save herself, which, do you know what I mean? Save yourself. All good. But that would have been like, you know, it's like the mother that can lift the car over. I don't know if that even ever happened to the bus, the airplane, because of the adrenaline. And it's like that thing is what cracks
the code,
her force open.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it was just done so, just by the numbers, maybe three too many cuts. But then it is never mentioned, referred to, or acknowledged for the rest of the series.
That is odd. That is odd.
And this is the thing with the finale. They forget all their, like, all the interpersonal relationships.
Uh-huh.
Like, in the befuddle, because it really seems like the finales of late are quite a rushed, we've got to get all these pieces, just tape it together, finale. Like, it seems like they don't, it doesn't all weave together seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, I don't know, like you're playing with different scales of action figures together or something, to use their beloved action figure analogy.
Uh-oh.
But, yeah, just the interpersonal, like at the end of Mando 3, they have this amazing scene with Sabine and Din in the second last episode. And then afterwards, in the conclusion, they just don't talk to each other, really. Like, there's no, like where's your game recognized game, horse?
Right.
Dude! Give me some game recognized game.
And then, like, so there's this whole storyline through the whole season where Ahsoka is trying to help Sabine connect with the Force, right? And it's a struggle. And, you know, Ahsoka comes to her realization that, like, well, maybe I need to tailor my approach to Sabine, right? And so then it happens. Sabine uses the Force two times in two impressive ways.
But that is Sabine's approach. You don't talk about it.
I guess. I guess so.
But, like, it's sort of like she's acting like, Sabine's acting like if someone was trying to hide it. Like, it almost seems like it's almost like a nefarious, like, thing to do. But it's just, you know, it's not part of the character. It's just that it's, like, very average storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that there is not even some sort of acknowledgement between Sabine and Ahsoka of, like, hey, by the way, I used the Force back there. It was pretty cool. You know what I mean? That is odd.
Well, what about when, so they're about to, you know, the ship's leaving, and they're about to do the jump, and Sabine's like going, "I know, I can do it. Just go." And it's like, I just picked up the light. Like, she, like, if Ezra had of been saved by Ahsoka, by Sabine's Force using abilities, and witnessed that she did it, then that would make the next scene make a bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no explanation. Like, that's like, Ezra should, like Ezra is the proven one that can use the Force.
Right.
So shouldn't like he be like, yeah, okay, go jump and I'll do it, and then I'll do a Jedi jump, and then you just do your best trying to suck me over. Like, it doesn't mean in space over the gap. Like, it doesn't really, but like, if Ezra had seen Sabine do it, then that would make, like, the trust seems unwise.
Right.
Like, it's sort of like, oh, yeah, you can trust and all that. But it's like, yeah, but that seems pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting forced into this position. You could switch spots, and that's a better allocation of resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I was Ezra, and I get it, he's cool Jedi guy now, I would have had a real hard time agreeing to that plan in the moment. Wait, you want me to do what? Okay.
And then I didn't really enjoy the effect of how Ezra started dropping and then Sabine did the boost. Like,
yeah, that was another weirdly edited thing too.
Like, well, that's not even an edit. That's a creative choice. Like when you do the effects, but that again, it's just super cartoony. It's sort of like, that's something that would happen in Rebels, and you'd sort of go, oh, that's a cartoon. I wish they didn't do that. But like, why wouldn't you just do like, you know, you continue the flow? Like, it just seems, why would you wait for them to drop? Oh, right. I'll see if they can't make it, and then I'll help. You give the boost.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about all this?
I mean, your biggest...
I feel like I'm bumming you out.
No, not at all, buddy. Takes more than that these days. I feel like most of your complaints about the finale are ones I share. Now, maybe they don't bother me as much, but I do think...
Oh, I've got more. I don't think I'm wrapping up.
Oh, I didn't think you were either. But I would say, like, what we've talked about so far... editing, the choreography in the fight with some of the stormtroopers in the fortress, like those things were things that stuck out to me initially seeing the episode.
But what about now? Or you just mean they stuck out to you? They still stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, even it wasn't one of those things where I rewatched it and things started sticking out. It was on initial viewing, they stuck out.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
they're still affecting me. Like, even when I went to rewatch it, I was like, yeah, that editing is still weird.
Now, the actual decision of a, like, never planning on jumping and going to help Ahsoka, big thumbs up.
Yeah.
Well, like, this is the Sabine that I have not paid to see, but I would if I had to. Good Sabining.
Yeah, I agree.
Then, wow. I read that out, not reading the next little note. Bad Sabining is when she just says, just for the action movie line, she's not alone. Pause. Then start shooting all the zombies. Like, if anything, Ahsoka should have said that and she just starts shooting. Like, Ahsoka knew. How do you feel about that one? Am I over the air? I feel like this one's one of the most... That was so... nonsensical. Why would you say that when you're surrounded by zombie stormtroopers? I better announce, hey, you know that surprise? Like, there's only so much going through the front door I can handle.
So
I liked it the first time.
I'll say that one didn't bother me as bad, and I would hope if I'm ever in such a situation that I have the moment to drop a real cool line too. But I have a feeling if it was me, I'd be like, Hey. Or I would just be screaming because there's zombie stormtroopers everywhere.
This is the bit where I wrote, I am worried about the storyline. I can't watch Zombie Season or Zombie the movie. What do you reckon's in those chests?
So I think now I'm thinking that in those chests, it's probably, could it be more Night Sisters that were asleep? Like the three that were there in the fortress, okay, or whatever.
So let me ask you about this. Why would they have to take the coffins somewhere to wake them up?
I don't know. Now, to me, that is a question I would hope and would think we would have answered in a second season or whatever.
Why wouldn't they just wake him up straight away? Like, why? Why would you?
I don't know, but I can envision.
Is there a food shortage?
Could be. I imagine that there is some. Going to be some sort of explanation of that.
See, that's your first mistake, Hawes.
I know. It's very optimistic.
Pardon me. Ezra talking on the trooper radio. I found that a pretty funny callback to the cartoon.
Now that I did like, because that is such a Rebels thing, right? Like, they nailed that. I think that dude should have probably taken that gear off before he landed.
Okay, buddy.
I'm sorry, man. All right, we'll keep going. We'll keep going.
That's the easiest avoided blunder of the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. Don't worry. So, yeah, Ezra talks on the radio, and then they go back to Sabine and Ahsoka, and they sort of say, yo, let's get out. I don't know. They say something. But just to show how bad this zombie thing is to me, they run off, and the zombies that they've just knocked over, they sort of like zombie-ishly get up. And then as soon as they stand up, they just hit like stormtrooper gun holding position and sort of start jogging off.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, I know, like, that, I guess that's what zombies are meant to, but like, they're meant to be sort of like a video game NPC or whatever, those, like, just the robots that, you know,
mm-hmm,
the video game characters. But it, yeah, it just plays bad to my eyes.
I gotcha.
It's just like how they, at the end of the day, zombies shouldn't be jogging.
Maybe not. Yeah, I can see that.
Jumping off the cliff onto a ship. Ugh.
Not a fan. So
it's just like, it's been done a couple times.
Yeah, I get that. I didn't mind it.
But then, why would you continue your ascent into the line of fire of the zombie stormtroopers?
Now that I don't have an answer for, buddy.
Because it's the trope. All right, then we get into space. And the visuals of that Star Destroyer in the ring going into, and then the Starfighter, uh-huh, or whatever, you know, the Ahsoka ship going into the atmosphere or out of the atmosphere, super sick. I guess it was good the whole time, and I just don't have an ear for it. But the I'm sure it was. I just don't have an ear for it. But during this bit, the music.
Oh, just, yeah, dude, the music during this part is awesome.
Like, it was sort of like Empire Strikes Back, but without biting it.
Uh-huh.
It was just ripping. And then Thrawn gives his speech. Just to... what was Thrawn's strategy here when he was about... like, is he just that much of a... why is shit-talking so much of his strategy?
Oh, I think because he's good at it.
Yeah, you know? It's good for the show and stuff. But, like, if you're about to super mega hyperspace leaving this person there forever... like, why risk it? Like, if, like, and I know, like, people have ego in that, but, like, if you are the master strategist, why are you doing this? Like, if there was a countdown, maybe, of, like, when the super mega hyperspace, you know, had, like, you know, you had to power up, and it was while it was powering up, but, like, yeah, there's a lot of this stuff is just like, just give it another pass. If you want to do the scene and have the speech, like the speech is sick, but like maybe just create a more like unpoppable scenario why he'd have time to do that. This is where I need a report.
Buddy, I don't have a reply from this because I like it so much. I just don't. I don't know, man. Because he likes to talk a little shit, you know. Once again, I hope if I ever have a mortal enemy chasing me and I'm about to get away, I've got the foresight to drop a sick bit of shit talking before I speed off.
All right, well, just make sure you're going to be able to speed off. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
The effects, though, of going into super mega hyperspace, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go back to the planet for the return of the bird. The Convor.
Right. What the hell is up with that bird, man?
Mate, I got no idea.
I don't either, man. I don't either. Like, I really need Dave Filoni to stop with all the hat business and the coming on shows with bloodshot eyes. I know what you're doing, Dave. And I need you to just give me tell me what's up with a bird. Okay? I think it's well past the time. Just let me know what's going on with that bird.
Does the bird signify the dragon that Dave Filoni is chasing?
Could be.
But, if I did a reaction, like recorded it, there definitely would have been an edit of me going, "The bird! The bird!
Yeah. What's up with that bird?"
And then you've got, what was the, she's not in the whole episode, but the blonde.
Shin Hati.
Yeah. Loves a ciggy. Have you noticed that?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen those photos?
Oh, yeah. So did her and Buddy. Every single behind-the-scenes photo I've seen from Ahsoka, everybody's smoking, bro. Like, she is, Thrawn smoking. I even saw Ezra smoking. I was like, wow, they must have had some Marlboros on the fucking rider at that show. Or Crafty had them lined up for him.
Yeah, they don't have dozies at my Crafties. It's a real shame. That would be hilarious. Probably in the 80s, they would have.
Oh, I bet. I bet they would have.
Oh, man. When I get back on set, when I see one of my old schoolers, because how's this, right? This is a little segue for everyone. So this guy was telling me, absolute champ of a dude, Martin, he's been doing it forever. And he said, like, in the 90s and stuff, at, like, when you were... at sets, like each soundstage had a telephone, and the telephone had a massive, always a big line, because people were ringing to see if they had jobs tomorrow and like,
oh yeah,
like audition. So they were calling in their managers to see if they had any auditions, and because no one had any mobiles,
right?
So yeah, the studio phone was like, there was always like a 10-20 person queue of people wanting to contact show business, which is just bizarre. Now you just get a text. So anyway, so what's her name? Shin?
Uh-huh, Shin.
She goes to the camp, mm-hmm. and those locals billowing smoke out of their tents.
Oh, yeah, man. They're hanging out with Dave Filoni playing with action figures trying to come up with the next season of Ahsoka.
Man, it's like your turtle is done. It's cooked. So, yeah, she's teaming up with them. And this sort of like, it's like, oh, you're getting all these little pieces. But it's also annoys me in the real world because it's just like you haven't even announced when this is getting a follow-up.
Yeah, that's a little weird, right?
Like, it's sort of like... And they are a company that, to a savvy fan, wouldn't hold, like, the utmost amount of trust with.
Especially given recent recent going-ons. Yeah, I could see one.
Yeah, especially now. Like, do you know what I mean? They used to bring stuff out when they said it would come, or stuff that would come out. But yeah, it's just so weird. There's like, oh, now we're into the bit where we're going to set up all the little things for the end of the season, for like the next story. And it's like, you've got like, you haven't even announced what this is, or what, or if they're like, it's so like, really on a corporate level, like in the bubble thinking, where it's like not thinking about the viewer's experience, like in the real world, enjoying the show.
Right.
Like, it's sort of like they're just left with questions that, like, in 2013 or 2023 should have answers, like, of like, mm-hmm. And that's the problem with having all these different storylines is, like, you know, they are quite different. So it's not like... Like, Ahsoka is a pretty natural follow-on from The Mandalorian. But The Mandalorian Season 4, as it stands, doesn't sound like a natural follow-on from Ahsoka. So the Ahsoka, like, storyline... Kind of like the alternate 1985 future in Back to the Future. It's sort of just left adrift in the timeline.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
And she... And, oh, sorry. And they have to come back. Like, they're not getting... Like, there's no way, like, in a real world way, that they're going to do this movie and not have Ahsoka in it.
No, there's not. And I would prefer that there's another season of Ahsoka that deals... I want her back in the regular Star Wars galaxy by the time that movie starts.
Like, just not at the end to have... I don't... Like, it's... Or just a press release or something saying we don't have, you know... It's in the future. Like... You know, like some, you know, they can even do it with some bullshit blue type, but just sort of like it's coming. Mm-hmm. It just seems so, yeah, really short-sighted,
right?
Like, because I was watching all the little, you know, the drip feeds of where the story's ending, which, and it's also to not have a series two announced. And the series is ending in such an inconclusive way.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't... Just, like, you can't leave, like... I don't know. Like, you can't show the Mortis thing. And then, well, this isn't going to be a major thing.
Oh,
like, how can it not be? Like, right. I'm not a Mortis person. It's sort of one of my least favorite ends of Star Wars. But that was actually pretty sick when he was there.
Yeah.
But like, you can't just say, like, he's at Mortis. That's it.
No, they have to address it. Like, And obviously, I totally understand the hesitancy, you know, to recast and stuff, but I think you have to.
Yeah, and like, my, like, the actual, like, the fact that he's, sadly, Ray Stevens died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's sort of separate from, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like a separate issue from how the show ended.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like they filmed an ending like that, obviously, before he died.
Right.
So it's just so weird that you're like, hey, this is where they're all at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a season two? Oh, always in motion is the future.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously the show airing during the strikes and everything, I'm sure affected that. But it feels like now we should at least know one way or the other. I think they are going to do another season.
Well, it appears. It's weird because Mandalorian season four ended like it was ending,
and is getting a
season four.
Right.
And this is ending like on 13 cliffhangers. Yeah, it's just like, and just with how scrappy it all is, and then you hear, you know, rumors that it's considered to make the Mando season four into a movie. It's sort of just like, yeah, I'm not speeding the story up. It doesn't, like, it gets it done and it gets you some score on the board, but it's not the, like,
it's not the preferable way to do it.
Oh, it's not going to be as good.
Yeah, like,
if you have to squeeze the story of Ahsoka getting back in at the start of the movie, or she just somehow appears.
Not like, good.
Yeah.
No, I really do think there's going to be a second season, and I would be willing to put money down that season four of A Mandalorian is not going to be a movie.
Well, hopefully sanity prevails, but it definitely, like, you know, like, they had their big thing of, and this is like, just ironically amuses me to no end. Is these CEOs, you know, Bob Iger is like, oh, doing all this stuff on Disney Plus. And then 2 years later, it's like, oh, we went too hard. And they always, their big changes always seem to be like fixing the decision they made a couple of years ago.
Right, like, right.
Like it's sort of like, but this is the problem you created. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You sort of tried to imagine that this growth was going to just skyrocket when, you know, it's pretty obvious, like, in the long term, always having people paying to go to the movies is because then you can then use those. Like, remember video shops?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you'd make people pay to go to the movies, and then they could pay less later on to watch the movie at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they waited a long time, they could watch it for free somewhere. Mm-hmm. It was a great setup. And then they're sort of just inventing that again.
Yeah. I mean, just in a different format, you're not wrong.
Mm. But yeah, just the overall thing of like they're just so concerned with like shareholders and profit, and so the long term, like, yeah, just once you, like, you know, obviously they've been like Disney, but like, you know, Star Wars wasn't publicly traded until 10 years ago essentially, but like George Lucas could just do stuff like, yeah, we're just going to chill out for a few years. And, but do you know what I mean? That's something that these, like, public companies just don't have the the discipline, because it's always like, what have you done for me in the last 3 months?
Right.
But yeah, so I'm sort of like, yeah, I'm not like, I sort of feel like he's something's going to be really good. It's almost through luck, like in that Dave Filoni side of thing. Just the storyline just seems so muddled. And
well, I mean, there's clearly, I think, still a lot of pieces left in play that need to get put in place. And, you know, that could affect that in a big way.
Oh, and we haven't gotten to the end yet anyway, because this is my biggest concern about this dude. The Ezra Harris scene,
bad.
It's just so bad. It's just like how they chose to go with that is just baffling.
Mm-hmm.
Like what happened to Dave Filoni? Like. I think he needs a hug. They're great. They're a free special effect. You get an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
So at the start of the series, right?
Right.
A ship lands. And these Dark Jedi get out and start killing everyone. At the end of the series, a ship lands and just a couple dozen, like maybe 12 people stand there kind of chillingly. Hera's at the front for some unknown reason. So is Chopper. Like, what? And then he walks down in a, like, why would you do that?
Hey, yeah, I think that's all on Ezra. This dude... He was like, oh, I'm going to redo the bit because, buddy, rewatching Rebels, that young man dresses up as a stormtrooper a whole lot. It was clear they kept that Ezra and stormtrooper model
it is,
handy.
It is true to the Ezra character because he did wear that speeder bike helmet. Remember how he'd wear it and it would be flapped up?
Uh-huh.
And it's like...
Do I ever.
Dude, he should be always complaining about his neck in Ahsoka. You know, I never should have had that helmet up the whole time. It's ruined my neck forever. Like, it just seemed like it would be aerodynamically very painful on the spine. But just terrible. How do you not have him hug? How do you have him walk down in that helmet? The actual shot of the shuttle getting, like, flanked by two A-wings or whatever through that fleet, that was insane.
Really good.
The space people do a good job.
They do.
I guess it's easier in space.
I guess, man. I don't know.
Because it's like it's a model, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of static. But when you got things moving and like humans and stuff. I know in the recap, Ahsoka did a jump off a ship that was just like, oh my God, Natalie Portman's on the ground laughing as she runs off. It was very Portman falling out of the thing-esque. I did love, as a fellow background performer, so the troopers, like the Rebel Alliance troopers or whatever,
uh-huh.
They call the... They don't change their stance from when, like, a pretty half-assed stance at that of, like, oh, this might be another person here to cut us all up, and, oh, no, it's a tender moment with an old hero returns.
Right.
They've still got this just half-assed, just like, they just feel like they're, like, they look like they're just at, like, a parade, and they're just like, I'm over this. Like a 501st.
Yeah.
Like the Rebel Legion. They're appearing at the Wisconsin Comic Con. And then they go back to Ahsoka Sabine. I put on the captions to make sure I didn't miss anything. Not even a hint of like, yes, I know that you use the Force.
Nope, not one mention.
Like with these shows, it's like, it's not just the action, it's the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no reaction, then was it important? Like, it's showing a reaction is what makes the action important. But it's all just bleh, nothing. They don't act like normal people that say things to each other that happened. Bro, if I make something float, I will tell you straight away, horse.
Okay, good, because I would prefer you did. I want to know as immediately as possible.
Ezra Ware is where he needs to be, and so are we.
Right.
I kind of like that.
I do like that.
But then reality kicks in, and I'm just like, yeah, but when it gets, like, it's all said and done, will that be the case?
I gotta hope so.
And then she says, right, and this sort of confuses me about the whole thing of the series. She says, it's time to move on. What is she moving on from? It shows Anakin, right?
Right.
Now, so is she moving on from Anakin? Because if that's the case, I thought she moved on from Anakin at the end of the Anakin episode. What is she moving on from?
I have no idea. No clue at all on that one, buddy.
Yeah, like, that's how I sort of read it. But it was sort of like, it just seems like you're going through the motions again. But, yeah, my biggest thing with Filoni is just like, just so haphazard with emotion. Like, he just doesn't know how to use it. Just pause it out. Like, you could make, like, some really amazing moments.
Mm-hmm.
Just with dialogue and stuff. And, yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so, and then my last thing is just like, this storyline, it's just up in the air. And it's sort of like, the fact they haven't announced it should concern everyone. Okay. Because why wouldn't you announce it? It all seems like it's leading to an announcement, but like, yeah, it just doesn't, like, why not announce it?
Not quite sure.
And that's why you should be concerned.
Yeah. I mean, I just, buddy, I'm not. I mean, I should be, but I'm not. I'm going to see. You know what? Star Wars is where it needs to be, and I'm where I need to be, I guess.
Oh, buddy.
Got him!
Terrible.
Come on, that was all right. It wasn't great, but it was all right.
But, yeah, I'm just this whole, the Mandoverse, I don't know what's going on over there, but it's hard to argue that all the best Star Wars has been made in Britain.
Okay.
In the kingdom. And we're going back there at the end of the year. So,
end of next year?
Yes.
No, I don't think we are, buddy.
You don't think we're going to get Acolyte at the end of the year?
Oh, I thought you were referring to Andor.
No. Isn't it confirmed? I know you thought I was talking about Andor, but...
No, yeah, there's not a... As far as I know, there's not a time period, like a, a window, but we know it's next year. We know that.
Yeah, right.
That skeleton crew, Andor was originally supposed to be next year, but it seems like it might be the year after.
I can handle the yeah, because skeleton crew's just like, who knows?
Yeah, well, and in some regards, that's kind of exciting to me, that there's like this kind of heavy unknown element about that. I hope it's awesome.
What did you see? This is my concern, like, because even if it's sort of like, oh, it's not for me, but it's in Star Wars, whatever, you know, it's sort of like, it's Star Wars adjacent, and so you know, you watch it, do you know what I mean? But you probably wouldn't watch it if it wasn't Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't watch Willow, but it seemed to get pretty average reviews. Trying to, when you get rid of the crazy people at both ends,
uh-huh,
it seemed like saying that it wasn't that great doesn't seem that
controversial.
Yeah, it kind of, exactly. Again, didn't watch a second of it. But yeah, I'm just like, what if it's just like not that, like it's, you can't even, or you'll be able to, but if I can't Star Wars my way through it and go, oh, it's Star Wars, like, which I think I faded out on, what was the one when they were like on the Colossus?
Resistance.
Yeah, I was sort of just like, all right. Like, it just sort of like, because I'm pretty like, I don't just watch stuff for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I just, when I was like, there was like a Marvel, I think Hawkeye, and the last few seasons or series have been really good. I was watching Hawkeye, and I'm like, I watched the first episode, and the next episode, I was like, oh, okay, we've got to watch that. And I'm like, I don't actually want to.
Oh, man. Hawkeye turned out to be pretty good by the time it was all done, though.
Yeah. But I sort of, like, don't even, like, but then it's just like, oh, like, yeah, but I live without it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not, like, seeking, I'm not yearning.
Right.
So there's that. I just don't want it to. I mean, I think even if it'd be pretty hard for it not to be enjoyable, even if you've got to just like disconnect.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about getting so much content with Star Wars now, which is, I mean, I know we're 8 years into new Star Wars at this point, but it's still uncharted territory for this amount of content. And I think there's going to be highs and lows all along the way. I think Star Wars is in a bad place when I'm like, yeah, I didn't watch the new series or season. That's when I'll know something's up.
Oh, dude, that's really bad. Like, you don't even, like, you're not even that critical of it at the moment.
Yeah, so I've got my problem. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would be
but that would be bad. That it's a massive drop. That's, yeah. Oh, what do you think about Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon?
Oh, I have been relishing in the bad reviews of that. I hate that guy.
Really?
I do not like Zack Snyder one bit. Ugh.
Is it him or is it just the people that like him?
I think he cultivates the people that like him. So I think it's a him, you know?
I sort of feel like he's just in the mid-ground. Like, he sort of does some good stuff, like, as a person. But then he's a little bit clueless about other things. But I don't know. I sort of like, well, when he was on that podcast and he called out those dudes, that was so funny.
Oh, I'm not even familiar with this.
Oh, it was like some, like a fundraiser. And so they had this big, like, the finale of it was, I don't know if it was around the movie coming out at the cinema or like it was the Snyder Cut or whatever. I can't remember. I think it was the original, when the original came out, I feel like. Maybe it was, I don't know. But anyway, they had this big live stream as the end of this fundraising thing. And at the start of it, he just said, oh, I'd just like to say we don't have anything to do. And then listed like a couple of websites. And it's just like, we don't support their bigotry. And it was like a few people that are involved in those websites are on the stream. And they're quite well known for their grumpy thumbnails. And to watch their faces break.
Oh, okay. Now I remember this. It was around the Snyder Cut. And I got to say, that's maybe one of the only things that dude has done that I enjoyed.
I became a Snyderholic during that. I was going to rent a buddy, a blimp.
Get a billboard.
Oh, it was so funny. So I went to Rotten Tomato for the first time ever. Because I didn't even realize it wasn't out. But I think some people could watch it at the cinema. So that might be there. But there were people that were just like, masterpiece. Like, it was very devout. But it looks like, because we have all the, like the posters around town.
Uh-huh.
Because this is what the rest of, I think America doesn't get. Maybe they get it in certain markets. But do you guys get like posters like on the side of construction sites?
No, we don't get that.
For shows?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so like what do you have on them? Like concert posters? Does it happen at all?
Nah. They're like bus stop advertisement and like big side of building advertisement doesn't really happen here. Billboards around here seem to mostly be for accident lawyers,
like, yeah, right,
personal injury lawyers and cracked foundations.
Well, I went to New York last week. I did notice, it was this week, but anyway, because LA and New York are two, you know, havens of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
In LA, it's mainly it's media getting advertised.
Mm-hmm.
And then in New York, it's more products.
Oh, okay.
So it's more brands and stuff like that. Whereas in LA, it's more like, you know, entertainment business.
Right.
But yeah, in New York, it's more like perfumes and clothing brands and stuff like that. Yeah, there's still movies and stuff, but you just notice a big difference. But yeah, so around here I post photos of them now and then, but yeah, they'll do like at the construction site, which in Melbourne they'll be covered with like posters for upcoming
shows and stuff,
Bon Jovi tour, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so it's always movies or shows. When that Kardashian show was starting back up
a
couple months ago, they had a construction site covered with just, and they're like the vapid X-Men. Mm-hmm. Like they all look like superheroes,
mm-hmm,
like the way they're made up and they're posing and they're all in these different sort of like outfits and stuff. And this one construction site that I had to drive past twice a day and at lights both ways to Harry's school. And they were just all staring at me. And then they got covered up. I can't remember what show covered them up, but it was a great day when they were gone.
I bet.
But then I saw a Kardashian bus in New York, and it scared the crap out of me.
Oof.
Gave me, I saw Emily Lind in New York.
Yeah, I saw the picture. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. But yeah, so we get like all the character posters. So all the different characters in Rebel Moon, and they all just seem
like ripoffs.
Yeah, just like we're doing like a fantasy Street Fighter or something.
Well, and I also saw when the first trailer came out, I saw somebody post a tweet, not somebody I know, that was like, wow, leave it to Zack Snyder to finally make lightsabers cool again. And I almost threw up.
Oh, on that, I saw, I don't know, there's some meme going around about the greatest scene in I can't remember, but it, like, how much hype, like, and it's cool, but it's not the be all. The Vader hallway scene in Rogue One.
You know, for a movie I really like, that's probably my least favorite part of it. And I don't I don't even dislike the scene, but it's my least favorite part of it. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's sort of like, it's cool and stuff, but like the way people just, that's Star Wars. It's like, is it? Looks more like Spawn to me. But like that compared to like your Kino Loy speech. Like,
well, okay, so that, it's hard to compare those two things because they're two different types of speeches. If you were talking about greatest speeches in Star Wars history, Kino's up there. Now, you know, action scenes or fight scenes, the Vader hallway scene, I think, would still probably rank pretty, like, I would put just about any lightsaber fight from any of the movies above that later Vader scene, right? I would put the scene when you see Boba Fett in his back in his armor for the first time in that episode when he's killing all the stormtroopers. I think that's a better sort of fan service-y moment of a character in armor than Vader in that hallway.
I think the scene's cool, but you know when someone, like, people just like something too much and you're like, no, you're wrecking it.
There's a little bit of that. Like, think
that is a big credo in my life.
I feel like, trust me, buddy. And if there's one of your friends that probably likes anything too much that you're like, I don't like it anymore, it would be me.
I definitely like stuff too much. I'm into it. I'm a fan of that.
The thing is Rogue One is such a good movie that I think you could not have that Vader scene at the end and it would still be just as good of a movie.
Yeah, it really is like, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
But that does, add to the complex nature of the Star Wars fan.
It sure does.
But I think all Star Wars fans should agree that Force usage should be acknowledged.
Yeah. I think there should have been at least a acknowledgement of Ahsoka where she was like, I felt your presence in the Force or whatever. I'm proud of you. Like, what a good moment that would have been, you know?
What about, she's doing some floaty exercise with Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, you don't, if writing these conversations is so hard, it's like, well, that's like, do you know what I mean? That you can fill it, you can fill in the gap.
Steel. Because we talked about that dumb Zack Snyder movie, I just opened up my phone and the first suggested post, yes, I said, I don't know if this is a true quote or not, but it says, Zack Snyder, I'm going to go build my own Star Wars with blackjack and hookers. That explains, like, that alone. If that is a true quote, I hate that guy.
If that is a true quote, he has affirmed his place is King of the Edgelords.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my stars. But at least he's sort of like, like that quote is so amazing. But he seems like, overall, like a positive presence on the planet, even though he doesn't seem like he's nefarious. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I think he's like you're always going to have the meathead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, well, he seems like, the fandom thing aside, but yeah, I just see other people that people get all devout about, and they're far, like, it's almost like
more deserving.
If only more people cared about Snyder Cut. Do you know what I mean? Like, man. It's like if only they could have found the Snyder Cut.
I'm not going to bring it up on the show, but I'll maybe text you the link to the article. There was an article that Zack Snyder did, I want to say back maybe post Watchmen, pre his Superman movie, where he was talking about Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins. And he says, I don't see why people think that's a dark Batman movie. If I made a Batman movie, I would have this happen. And what he says he would have happen is gross.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I feel like I know.
Yeah, I think you might, because it is something I've brought up before. I know Emily's brought it up before. Like, it is. And that even back then, I was like, what is wrong with this guy? I don't like this guy.
So. All right, I'm withdrawing my support for Zach. I can't remember everyone's.
And how can you in this day and age when it's seemingly most everyone is awful? But like, to me,
I'm too busy tracing Struthers' negative comments about my
your vintage collection. I'll be honest, like. To me, that quote from that interview is the ultimate example of the kind of edgelord he is and why I don't like him.
Oh, man.
And just adding the, I'm going to go make my own Star Wars with blackjack and hookers. Like, if that is a true quote, I'm not saying it is because I haven't researched it. I just saw it for the first time. Yeah, not for me, the Zack Snyder.
Especially when he got knocked back.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? It was like a pitch for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch it?
No. Buddy, I'm so far behind on stuff I want to watch that I appreciate my free time too much to devote it to anything Zack Snyder related.
Because I was sort of like, before I read the reviews, I was like, oh, yeah, this could be, you know, fun to watch. And it's like, it was going to be, you know, it was pitched as a Star Wars sort of thing. So that'd be interesting. But the reviews just, I realized that was not a good use of time. And I love how he's like, he's going to like edit in another hour just for no reason later on.
Yeah, man. The dude likes the sound of his own voice, for lack of a better term, a little too much.
Yeah, that just sounded like, like those, like the Return of the King and all that. Like I remember buying, like, oh, I've got to get the longest version.
Oh, yeah. And then you sit down and you're trying to watch a five-hour movie.
Bloody hell. It's like, you don't need more. Like, how much more walking through the forest can I deal with?
Yeah. I mean, with the Lord of the Rings stuff, you know, if you're someone who really loves those books, which I do, those extended editions are nice because they do add some things from the books that weren't in the original cut of the movies, but they're also, the pacing is not great in those extended editions of the Lord of the Rings movies.
I've never read the books, and I also have only, you know, seen the film at the cinema, so I didn't even get...
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you said, oh, I've got a version of Empire Strikes Back with an hour more footage, I'm like...
Give it to me. Right?
Yeah. Let's go. That's where kind of got that music from.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, it, like hearing about the extra hour and hearing, and I was, because I was, you know, he's like fascinating, like just the Snyder. And so I read, I know, like Jermaine or someone had an interview with him, and then I'm reading him like saying, oh, and then we're going to do another hour of all this, and that's like, oh, bro, this makes me want to watch it less. Like, because you're sort of saying, like, it's like, which version's the good version?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you're kind of making me feel like no version's the good version.
Exactly.
But anyway. This is our wrap up, but let's get back to, we've had a few queries about the Star Wars Year by Podcast, Harry. Pause.
Yeah, we got to get back to that, man.
All right. So I'm not sure what your schedule's like next week with festive, but if you can slip one in, I'm not sure. Are you working like full time over holidays and stuff?
So I work on Christmas Eve some, and then I'm off on Christmas, and then it's just my regular schedule. So I get like, and Christmas is one of my normal days off anyway, so it's not even like I get an extra day off. But
Jim,
I do have a 3-day weekend coming the first weekend in January. So, we might be able to work it out then, or, I'll be off New Year's Eve and New Year's Day the week after Christmas. So that's a Saturday, a Sunday and a Monday. So maybe we could do first day of the year, Star Wars Year by Podcast.
All right. Well, the first day of the year or before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who knows what episode we're up to? We're in the late 80s. It's all happening. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to our Patreons. I did a Q&A as well. If people are on Horses Pod, I did a Q&A that's on podcast and YouTube. I was meant to do one with Corey to sort of go through the latest Corey issues,
mm-hmm.
collectibles and all that sort of good stuff. But he was unwell. I've told him to stop licking random items on the street. Because
he does do that, and it is concerning.
Yeah, he just wants to know if anything sticks. So there's that. But so hopefully I can wrangle Corey into a bit of a vibe this week. Thank you, Hawes. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Life Day blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Force be with you, isms. Lava lamp Asians to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all that good stuff.
All right, guys. Happy holidays. That's our thoughts on the end of Ahsoka. 2 hours.
And the Hasbro schedule, baby.
Yep.
Yeah.